Our God and our Father, we bow before thee, we enter today into thy courts and come before thee in the precious name of thine eternal Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to thine house, Lord, to worship thee, to bring to thee that worship and praise that is due to thee. And Lord, we pray that we may know thine help, thy presence with us. Help us as we would join our hearts together in the singing of the songs of Zion. Help us as we gather around thy word. We pray that this time together will be owned of thee, that it will be used to have our souls to know the blessing of the Lord. And O God, we pray thee that from this our time together and before thee, that thou would bring glory to thine own dear and precious name. Answer prayer to this end, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're turning to our opening hymn. The hymn is number 9 for anyone who is using your own hymn book, but the words will be on the screen. With harps and with viols, there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song unto him who has loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. And we remain seated to sing.
Thank you.
we come before the Lord in prayer and seek his face again, and that we might know that real sense of his presence with us, and we might know the pleasure of the Lord even amongst us here this morning. We look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow afresh before thee. We thank thee that we come in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find our acceptance in him. We acknowledge, O God, today our own unworthiness. We acknowledge, O God, that we have no merits of our own that would enable thee, the Almighty, infinite and holy God, to find pleasure in us. But, O God, we thank thee that our worthiness is found in Christ, that in Christ we have been made worthy. O God, we thank thee for the privileges that are ours in Christ today of being able to come aside one with the other and enter into the very presence of the eternal God. We acknowledge that thou art infinite today in all of thy ways, infinite in all of thy doings, infinite in all that thou art in thy glorious attributes. And, O God, we come before thee and we look to thee and pray that thou would accept our singing us praise unto thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the words of that which we have been bringing before thee. We praise thee, O God, for the glorious working of God in our heart. We thank thee, Lord, for the promise of God, for that wondrous work of redemption. We praise thee that we can sing today unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin. Unto him be the glory forever. Amen. We thank thee for each one that is found in this house today, and those who would listen in. We pray, O God, that thou would look to us today, but we thank thee for each one that knows the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for each one who is born of the Spirit of God. We thank thee for thy grace and for thy mercy, for thy redeeming love. But, O Lord, we pray for any today who would yet be outside of Christ, yet found in their sin. And, O Lord, we pray today for them. We pray that even during this time before thee, and this time when we gather around thy praise and around thy word, that thou would have sinners to be brought under the conviction of sin. And we pray, O God, that they'll know the working of the Spirit of God in turning their eyes unto Christ. We pray that thou would give that enabling faith whereby such will be saved. We do pray, Lord, thy blessing now upon us, thy presence with us here. But, O Lord, we look to thee again for all of our sister congregations. We pray, O God, that thou would be pleased to move and to work, that this will be a day of blessing, a day of the moving of God, a day of revival power. O Lord, we look to thee for this. Bless the preaching of thy word. We ask, Lord, that our congregations, whether large or small, will know the moving of God and the very pleasure of God stamped upon the gatherings. We ask, Lord, that thou would bless the preaching of thy word around our province. Wherever faithful men preach faithfully thy word, we pray for the abundance of the blessing of the Lord in that place. Remember our province. We hold it before thee in all of its sin and iniquity. Lord, we look to thee for thy working in grace. We pray, O God, that thou would not regard, look to us, Lord, and see, Lord, only that which is fit for judgment, Lord. We acknowledge our sin. But, O Lord, we pray that thou would deal with us, Lord, not according to thy strict justice, but, O God, deal with us, we pray thee, in our province and our nation. O, deal with us, O God, according to thy mercy and according to thy grace. And we pray that thou would be pleased to give us days of blessing again from thy presence. Lord, we pray for this. Remember again those who cannot be at the service today. We pray for them, those, Lord, who are absent because of circumstances that are beyond their control. Draw near to them, put thine hand upon them. Let them know and feel the very presence of God and the whisperings of the Lord to their own hearts. We pray, Lord, today that thou would remember thy servant who would normally be ministering the word in this pulpit. Pray for our brother, Mr. Porter, thine hand to be upon him this day, Lord. We pray that even during a time of vacation now, that he would know the blessing of God and the touching and the reviving of his body and mind and spirit, Lord, preparing him again for the work that lies ahead in the months that lie ahead. All of this, Lord, we bring to thee, but we pray, Lord, that thou would bless us with thy presence. Do our hearts, do our souls good, and let us rejoice, O God, in all that we have in the Saviour. Answer prayer to this end, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read a few verses from God's Word. We're reading from Hebrews, the chapter 13. Just a short portion of Scripture. Hebrews, the chapter is 13. And we'll commence to read at the first 10. Reading at the first 10. Just reading a few verses. Hebrews chapter 13. We're reading at the first 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 16. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts. This part of the service, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Keith Ferguson, to let us have the necessary announcements. Thank you, brother.
On behalf of the minister in session of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church, I'd like to give everybody a very warm welcome to our morning service. And if you're a visitor with us, we'd like to give you a special welcome. I'd also like to welcome those that are joining us online. And I would also like to welcome their minister, the Reverend Lynn, today, who has taken both services. The evening service tonight is at 7 p.m. and the prayer meeting on Tuesday night is at 8 p.m. and that will be conducted by Mr. Richard Edwards. The service is next Lord's Day, August the 22nd, are at normal times, 12 noon and 7 p.m. and they will be conducted by our own minister, the Reverend Porter. Please remember in your prayers the Children's Bible Club meeting in Lisbelaw Orange Hall this week, Monday to Friday, at 11 a.m. And if you wish to help, please see our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore. Thank you.
I want to thank our brother, Mr. Ferguson, for his words of welcome to us today here in Enniskillen. We're glad to be here. And we look to the Lord that he will help us and bless us as we gather around his word, and that the Lord would bless his word to our hearts. We're going to join together in the singing of another hymn. The number is 418 in the hymn books. earlier on, I said the words would be on the screen. I think I said that. That is not the case. In some churches, they have screens, and other churches, they have the words printed out, as you have here. So the words you will have already in your hand, and we again will look to the Lord. We'll remain seated while we sing. I'm going to sing our praise unto the Lord. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Thank you.
We're turning back again to that portion of Scripture that we read from Hebrews and the chapter 13. But we look to the Lord in prayer first of all, and we'll ask the congregation if you would stand just as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we again would seek thy face in prayer now for the word. We thank thee for the hymns that we've been singing, Lord. And oh, that desire would be in our heart, that thou would plant our feet on higher ground, Lord, that we might live close to thee as we journey through this old world. We pray, O God, that the word of God today will be the very means of grace to our hearts to enable us to live on higher ground and to walk close with thee. Lord, for this we pray that thou would have us to know thy presence, thy working amongst us, that thou would close us in with thyself so that our minds are attention will be focused on thee, that we might hear thy voice and thy word, the word applied to our hearts by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that thou would help in the preaching of the word. Again, Lord, we acknowledge the need of the preacher and pray that thou who knowest that need, that thou would meet the need. Pray, Lord, that thou would give to me that fresh anointing that I might know the power of God, the Holy Ghost, in the preaching of the word of God. Pray, O Father, that thou would give to me clarity of mind, give to me plainness of speaking. Pray that thou would take from me, Lord, every distraction, so that my mind would be upon this work that lies before us in the proclamation of the truth of God. Lord, be my helper. Bless us in the word. Do our souls good, we pray. Bring glory to thine own name. For we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen and amen. We're turning again to these verses here that we have read together from the epistle to the Hebrews, the chapter 13. And we commenced our reading at the first 10, where we read, "We have an altar." Now the penman of this epistle, the inspired apostle, when he was writing here, he writes this with great confidence when he says, "We have an altar." There is a strong militant use of the verb, even in that little phrase. And it is as if this fact was denied by some, and that Paul is now asserting it when he says, "We have an altar." Of course, this was the case. The altar and the sacrifices were the prominent features of Jewish worship. This was their whole focus. And at the time of the writing of this epistle, that practice of slaughtering and sacrificing animals was still being carried out. We know that from the verse that we read together in the verse 11. We read, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest." And there the verb is in the present tense. It was still being carried on. And when we go back again, just a couple of chapters into the chapter 10, we find the very same thing in the verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away a sin." It is in the present tense. Every priest standeth daily. And so the practice of still offering sacrifices on the altar was still being carried out. The Jews, they focused themselves on the altar as far as their worship was concerned. And they argued against those who had turned to Christianity,
those who had turned to Christ. They argued against them and they mocked them by saying, "You have no altar. You have no formal place of worship." Again, we think of this verb that is used when the apostle says, "We have an altar." Again, I emphasize that it is very definite. It's a very strong word that is used here. It is the word that is translated in other places to possess, or it is translated also to hold or to hold firm. And we find also that it is translated by the term to count. Here is an accepted truth. Here is a fact that we can count on. Here is something that we possess. Here is something that we hold fast and sure. People, we have an altar. Paul is speaking here about this fact. And he says, we have an altar. Even though the Jews would mock the believers and they would say, you have no altar. You have no place to focus your worship on. Paul is saying here, we have an altar, and he proceeds to show that what the redeemed have by way of an altar, it's much superior to what those Jews had. I want to just come to these verses today, to those verses where we commenced our reading at the first 10, and I want to look at this great fact, that believers, those who are saved by the grace of God, those who are found in Christ, those who are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, today, people, we have an altar. And I want to focus on that even this morning. I want us to consider the person of the altar. You see, the altar is not the mass as the Roman Catholic Church would use it to be. Nor is the altar the communion table, although the Lord's table points to the work of the altar. But rather, the altar is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sense of the word that is used here of altar, it carries with it the sense of sacrifice. And so it immediately brings us to the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the term here, we have an altar. It is pointing us to Christ, and it's pointing us to the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Do you see, everything about the altar, the Old Testament altar, it points to Christ. We think of the materials that were used in the construction of the brazen altar. Those materials pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke of Christ. We have the shittim wood covered with the brass, and it denoted the incorruptibility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the four horns of the altar at the four corners, referring to his power in saving and keeping safe all who come to him in repentance and in faith. Such shall find him to be a sure refuge, and coming as it were to him from the four corners of the earth. The sacrifice on the altar, the male animal without blemish, speaking of the absolute holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as we find in 1 Peter 1:19, he is the Lamb without blemish and without spot. When we think about the sacrifice for the brazen altar, it was slaughtered. It was absolutely wholly burned. And so it is pointing to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, the pain and the agony that he endured. Enduring the wrath of sinful men, and the wrath of a holy God, as he offered up himself as a sacrifice to satisfy the justice of Almighty God on behalf of poor, guilty, vile sinners like us. Poor, guilty, vile sinners who would repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. When we think of the blood of the sacrifice that was laid upon the altar, it is pointing to his precious blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the means of our cleansing from sin. That we first in 1 John, the chapter 1, and the verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so people hear in Christ and his work on the cross, in his sacrificial work, here we have our cleansing, the means of our cleansing. Here is our salvation. Here is our redemption. Here is our deliverance from sin. Here is our forgiveness. Here is our pardon. Here is our sure hope of heaven. It is Christ in his sacrificial work. So when we're reading here, the apostle is writing, inspired of God, and he's saying to the redeemed, to the people of God, we have an altar. It's pointing to Christ in his sacrificial work, in his work of redemption, in his work of saving sinners. We have an altar. But just let me say a few words further on Christ as our altar. In this brazen altar, as we have seen, we see him in his sacrificial work, his redeeming work. But in the golden altar, in the altar of incense, where we have it, we find it there in Exodus in the chapter 30, we see him in his supplicating work. So that he who lived for us, who died for us, who rose again for our justification, he lives today and he intercedes for us at the right hand of God the Father. That is what we read in Hebrews 7 and 25. We read it again in Romans 8 and 34, that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He sits at the Father's right hand, interceding for us, interceding for his people. We have Christ, our altar. The brazen altar pointing to his sacrificial work on Calvary. The golden altar with the incense rising up, speaking to us of Christ in his supplicatory work for us even today. You see, if we can imagine the golden altar and the incense being put upon it, and the fragrance of the incense rising up, it is a picture, it is a type that points us to the intercessory prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The incense is a picture of prayers. It's a picture of the prayers of believers too. If we look there at Psalm 141, the second verse, we find the psalmist says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And again in Revelation 5 in the verse 8, we read of those who fell down before the Lamb with their golden vials full of odors. The word there also is the word for incense. Full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So the incense, the fragrance, rising up is a picture of prayer rising up before the Lord. And this is the present work of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, as we have already said. The scripture shows us Christ at the right hand of God interceding for his people. And he does so continually. Exodus 30 again. In the verse 8, we find that the incense was to be burned every day, morning and evening. It is called a perpetual incense, continual. And it is pointing us to the continual, perpetual interceding of Christ for his people every day, right throughout the day, every moment of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ is interceding and praying for his people. And he does it on the basis of his sacrificial work. The two go together. The sacrificial work of Christ on the cross and his interceding for believers now at the right hand of God the Father, they are joined together. We can see it in the scriptures. We can see that the fire that was on the golden altar, the altar of incense, that fire was taken from the brazen altar. It was lifted from the brazen altar and carried and put upon the altar of incense. There is a connection. The two are connected. And Christ praying for us today in glory is on the basis of his atoning work on Calvary. He is praying continually for his people. I mentioned earlier on about the fact that incense is a type of prayer. It's a picture of our prayers. It's a picture of the prayers of God's people rising up. But our prayers, people, are so imperfect. And I don't know about you, but I can feel it and I know it. Imperfection stamped upon our praying, whether it be grammar or whatever else. How often we look at our own hearts and think how feeble our efforts are in the place of prayer. But Christ, our blessed Savior, who intercedes for us, he takes our imperfect prayers and presents them perfect to the Father, and this makes them to be acceptable. If we go to the Revelation there, the chapter 8, in the Revelation, in the first 4, let me read the first 3 and 4. Here we have Christ before us. Let me read the third verse, chapter 8 of the Revelation. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now the angel that is spoken of here, and another angel came. It is no doubt the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. See the picture there. We can see the golden altar, the altar of incense. And what is happening? It is speaking of the prayers of all the saints. And they are ascending. How are they ascending up before God? Out of the angel's hand. The Lord Jesus Christ takes our imperfect prayers, and he perfects them. And he sets them before Almighty God the Father. And thus in Christ our praying is acceptable and accepted. And so when we read here of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an altar. We have an altar today that is found in Christ. His work on Calvary, in his interceding work for us, he prays for us. What a comfort that is. What confidence the child of God has today that in my weakness, in my defeats, in my discouragements, in my worries, in my anxieties, in my sufferings, whatever, to know that my Savior is pleading for me in glory. That is what we have right now. We have a Savior in glory who is pleading for us right now. Hymn writer penned it well. I have a Savior. He's pleading in glory. A dear, loving Savior, though earth friends are few. And now he is watching in tenderness o'er me. I know that my Savior were your Savior too. Even now the Savior watching over us in tenderness, pleading our cause there at the Father's right hand. Dear child of God, we have an altar that is superior to all else. Christ is our altar. Christ in his sacrificial work, saving us. Christ in his supplementary work, praying for us. But then we have also here not only the person of the altar, we have the privilege of the altar. Let us go back again to the verses that we read together, the first 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Speaking of the priests continuing on their work of slaughtering and offering the sacrifices, the apostle is saying, they have no right to eat of the altar that we have a right to eat of. That is what he is saying here. Now, let us just grasp again what the picture is here, what the apostle is presenting to us. In the Old Testament, we learn that a part of the meat offering became the property of the priests, the Levites, by law. It was there for their support. It was for their sustenance. That is their portion. That is what they had a right to, as we learn over there in Leviticus 6 and again in Deuteronomy 18. They had a right to have a portion of the sacrifice that was being offered up. But the apostle is referring to that, and he says that of this altar, that is of Christ, of his sacrificial and intercessory work, they have no right to partake of. They have no right to eat. They have no right to the benefits of it. That is, they have no right to the benefits that we have, having Christ. You see, child of God today, we are termed by the Lord as his royal priesthood. Over in Revelation 1 and the first 6 there, we the redeemed have been made kings and priests unto God. The priesthood of every believer, a royal priesthood, and as such, we have direct access to God, and we are partakers of that salvation that is found in Christ, and we are partakers of the blessings of God that accompany this so great salvation. That is our right. That is what we have today in Christ. But Paul is writing here of those who are Christ rejectors and says they have no such right. Christ rejectors who would not have the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, and therefore they could not enjoy the privileges that flow from him. This term, to eat, it means to partake of. It means to have the benefit of. It is to draw our sustenance and our strength and our life and our enjoyment. That's what it means. It is to have nourishment. And this is ours in Christ and from Christ. He is the bread of life. He is the bread from heaven. And by faith we feed on him. By faith we partake of all that he has purchased for us in his redeeming work. It is from him and his atoning work that we have life eternal. It is from him that we have everything that accompanies our salvation. We have a peace that passes understanding. We have his provisions. We have his precious, never-failing promises. We have his guidance and his counsel through his word. He is our strength. He is our consolation. He is our comfort. Child of God, we have everything in Christ. Everything. We have tasted of his goodness. The word of God would say, taste and see that the Lord is good. People, we have tasted of his goodness and we are filled to the full with his blessings. We have received by faith the blessings of the Lord. That's spiritual eating. But we say again, and we apply it especially to the unsaved, whether here in the building or listening in on sermon audio or whatever, this is not the portion of Christ rejectors. Dear unsaved, dear Christ rejector, for that is what you are. You don't have Christ as your Savior, so you don't have those blessings that accompany salvation. You need to come by faith to Christ and receive him to be your Lord and Savior. This is the only way to be saved. And this is the only way to have the blessings of God. And this is the only way to have a right to heaven. We have no right of passage into heaven by our own merits. We have no merits of our own before the Lord. The only way into heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by a sinner accepting the fact that he is a sinner, and that in his sin he is bound for hell. Therefore, that is the punishment that his sin deserves. And knowing that, then turning away from his sin and all else, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work, looking to Christ alone to satisfy God on his behalf, on the sinner's behalf. The sinner knowing his sin and coming as a sinner by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and calling on the Lord to save him. My friend, that is the only way to be saved from the penalty of your sin. And that is the only way to the blessings of having the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence with you in this scene of time. And that is the only way of entrance into the eternal glory, into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is our altar. In him we have everything that we have need of. All of the blessings that flow from his atoning work. But then, people, we see the praise of the altar in the first 15. It reads there, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The praise of the altar. Praising the Lord. He who has redeemed us. And as those redeemed who have been made priests unto God, we are to offer up unto him our sacrifices. What are the sacrifices that the Lord is well pleased with, as we read in these verses? It is our praise, continual praise. Look again at what it says. In that verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." It is living in the attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness to the Lord for saving us and for blessing us. That is what is meant by the term continually. It doesn't mean just singing the Lord's praise at a Sunday service or whatever. It doesn't mean occasionally just thanking the Lord for what he has done for us. It means living continually with a thankfulness of heart that the Lord has redeemed us. Thankful that we're not bound for hell. Thankful that we're not already found in hell. If it had not been for the mercy and the grace of God in providing salvation in Christ Jesus, if it were not for the love of Christ who died for us and gave himself for us, my friend, we would be on the road to hell already. If it were not for Christ's redeeming work, we would be in hell. Absolutely sure of hell, if not there already. But as living our life with the sense of what Christ has done for us and the price that he paid for us. That is the praise of God. That is praise that is acceptable unto the Lord. It's a grateful and a thankful heart, dear child of God. And then we find it is the sacrifice of doing good to others. Look at the verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, but with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." God is well pleased when we live with a thankful heart to him. And God is well pleased when we do good to others, especially the support of others. It is speaking here of communicating to others. It says there to do good and to communicate. Forget not. Communicate, it is to give. Whether giving financially or whether giving support in whatever other way. It is supporting others, supporting children, those who are the children of the Lord. Those who are going through times of difficulty. It is supporting them. It is standing by them. It is communicating to them. Giving to them whatever we can give to them. Whether it be financial again, I say, or whether it is just our support to them and our encouragement for them. The Lord is saying here, don't forget to do that. And so these are the sacrifices that we are to bring to the altar, that we're to bring to the Lord, a thankful and a generous spirit. That's pleasing to God. That's our duty. That's the privilege that is ours, as well as the duty that we have of bringing our praises unto the Lord. We have an altar. Christ is the altar. He is our salvation. He is our security. He is our satisfaction. He's our strength. He is our sustenance. And we bring to him our sacrifices of praise, for he is worthy of our sacrifices. People always live in the light of the altar. Let us heed the words of the apostles and take them as the fact and the truth of what is stated. We have an altar. We have Christ. Every believer can rejoice and say, I have Christ, and he is the focus of my worship, because he is the one who has redeemed me by his precious blood on Calvary. And he is the one who right now and continually intercedes for me, prays for me, when I can scarcely pray for myself. He takes my imperfect prayers and presents them perfectly before the throne of God in glory. What a Savior we have. What a salvation we have. Oh, my dear friend, then let us rejoice. And let us live our life in rejoicing and in praise for what the Lord has done for us. Dear unsaved, I say again to you, you have none of the blessings of the Lord. The blessings that he has provided for those who will come to him in simple childlike faith. Will you come today? Will you acknowledge your sin and put your trust in Christ? Call upon him to save you. And know the blessings that are found in him. Dear child of God, live in the midst of the blessings of the Lord. We'll bow in prayer. Then after we close in prayer, I'll go to the door, to the outside of the door. And I can greet you there from the outside of the church. Our God and our Father, we bow before thee, and we thank thee and praise thee for all that we have in Christ. We're glad today that we have a Saviour who has loved us and given himself for us. We're glad that we have a Saviour who lives in the glory and sits at the very right hand of God the Father, praying for us, continually watching over us and pleading our cause there in glory. O Lord, we pray that thou would have us to live in the victory of that our lives might be lives of praising thee for what thou hast done, for what thou art doing, and for all that thou wilt yet do for us. Save the unsaved. Pray that thou would give them that faith, Lord, whereby they will be made able by thy grace to turn from their sin and to look to Christ for salvation. Save them, Lord, we pray thee. We ask, O Lord, that as we leave now this thine house, that thou would have us to go with and in the blessings of the triune God. Answer prayer, Lord, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen.